We are back now with the next installment of our ongoing monthly macro podcast series with colleagues from UBS Asset Management. On a monthly basis, we do look forward to hearing from the top investment professionals from the UBS Asset Management multi-asset team. With that, fortunate to have with us on the line today, welcoming back Evan Brown, portfolio manager and head of multi-asset strategy. We're also joined today by investment strategist Fatou Kanté. With that, Evan, Fatou, thank you for spending some time with our listeners today. Fatou, let me pass it over to you to lead the conversation with Evan. Welcome back.
Thanks, Dan. It's great to be back here again with Evan. Welcome, everyone. So today we'll dive into what's happening in the global economy. We'll touch on the latest on U.S. policy, and then lastly, we'll speak about how investors should be thinking about equities, fixed income, and global diversification right now. So, Evan, with that being said, what do the latest U.S. macro data releases indicate about the strength and trajectory of this economic cycle that we're currently in?
Yeah, thanks, Fatou. So, two types of data out there. So there's soft data and hard data. The soft data is essentially surveys of consumers, of businesses, and the hard data is what's happening right now in the economy. That's, you know, employment, spending, et cetera. And the soft data looks quite poor. if you look at consumer confidence, if you look at measures of business confidence and CapEx intentions and the like, those have really deteriorated. And we do take some signal in that. I mean, I think when you have the private sector sounding more cautious than typically, you'll see activity slow. And so the soft data can be a leading indicator for the hard data, but you also don't want to overstate it. In the end, you really want to focus on what people do as opposed to too much on what they say. In fact, in 2022, beginning of 2023, the soft data was terrible and the hard data ended up being just fine in the end. So it's a mixed picture, but fair to say that the ongoing uncertainty with tariffs is weighing on sentiment, and it's likely to weigh on the hard data soon. I mean, we are going to see inflation prints start to, over the course of the summer, rise as a result of the tariffs, just higher cost of good imports, and then that is likely to lead to some pullback in consumer spending. And the big question is, do we start to see the labor market really loosen? What's good is that, like I said, the hard data holding up. The employment report we got last week was very, very healthy. You know, it showed even in the middle of April, which was after Liberation Day, companies were still hiring at a very healthy rate. But we don't know at this point. You know, we do know that the labor market will cool off and hiring will slow. But we don't know just how fast it'll be and how severe it will be. I will say, you know, the silver lining here, it's something we've talked about a lot on these calls, is that if you're going to have a sharp slowdown or even a recession, you want to have it with the current backdrop we have right now, which is that private sector balance sheets in aggregate, whether it's the consumer or businesses or banks, they're just in very, very good shape. So there's not this big need to delever, right? People aren't over their skis. And so if we get that slowdown, and even if it's a severe one, it's still likely to be, let's call it a mild recession, as opposed to some of the deep recessions that we experienced in, you know, 2020 and 2008.
Interesting. So given this economic outlook that's quite murky, why do you think equities rebounded so strongly from their lows on April 7th? I mean, you know, as we speak now, the SPX is up 11.2% since then. So any insight on that?
So I would use three words, and it was the title of our macro monthly, which is Trump has constraints. Those are the three words. And I think the market recognizing that has been the reason why we've had such a sharp rebound. You know, we of course had Liberation Day's announcement, and then we had the shortest implementation period possible with the president pivoting and actually saying that it was the bond market and the sell-off in the bond market that was a major reason why he decided to kind of pull back. And that's important information. I mean, it's as much as President Trump is, has ideological views on trade and the like, when he was seeing, real disruption in the bond market, which, underpins all of our borrowing rates and really underpins the global financial system, U.S. Treasury yield, that was enough to get him to back off. And then again, we saw it when he was threatening to fire Fed Chair Powell and him backing off of that as well when the long bonds started to sell off. Another constraint on him is political, which is that he, to give an example, a lot of these tariffs are disproportionately going to hit a lot of the people who put him in power, whether that is lower income consumers who are going to be facing higher prices on goods, or whether it is small businesses, which, based on surveys, have leaned in the direction of being Republican, and small businesses have a lot less flexibility than larger businesses in terms of their ability to withstand these tariffs, and they can't just switch their supply chains overnight or reshore overnight. And so as these policies get more painful for some of Trump's key constituents, that is leading to policies that are more de-escalatory in nature. So we are seeing the Trump administration will start negotiations with China in bringing these tariffs down starting this weekend. We don't expect anything imminent, but just knowing that process has started, the administration acknowledging that the tariffs are unsustainable for the U.S. economy, I think is an important thing. So that plus the market getting very oversold has been what's catalyzed this rebound.
Yeah, I imagine we'll be speaking about tariffs for quite some time. And this next question is no different. So, as you've touched on in your response here, since Liberation Day, tariff policy has changed for a number of reasons. So how do you see tariff policy as it is today and the uncertainty around it impacting economies outside of the U.S.?
Yeah, I mean, it hurts, certainly, as you'd expect, right? More trade-focused, more kind of open economies that export and depend on exports to the U.S. are getting hurt, and obviously China, where you have the 145% tariff rate, the severe hit to growth. At the same time, they also have shown an ability to kind of withstand pain for long periods. If we think about COVID and them having a zero COVID policy and lockdowns for the course of 3 years, it's just the result of their political system. They're politically more able to withstand that economic pain, but it is hurting them. For sure. There's an interesting dynamic because as much as these tariffs do hurt countries around the world, we're actually seeing something what we like to call the Trump paradox, which is the kind of more dangerous Trump's policies are to a particular country or region, the more they suddenly get their act together and engage in domestic policies that are more supportive of their economies. And the perfect example of this is Germany, who were engaged in fiscal austerity for forever. And Trump essentially saying, hey, Germany, you're on your own, or Europe, you're on your own when it comes to the Russia-Ukraine war, that catalyzed a dramatic increase in not just defense spending, but also infrastructure spending in Germany. And that's going to support the economy. And that is a good thing for Europe and for the world. Canada is another example, right, where you've had all these individual provinces who actually, believe it or not, had their own mini tariffs within Canada against each other. And they're bringing those down. And with Prime Minister Carney getting elected, there's momentum towards tax cuts and deregulation and the like. And so these kind of policies that maybe would not have been possible without Trump threatening, you know, with all the tariffs or calling for Canada to be a 51st state and the like. So there is this cushion that is being provided where politicians are kind of stepping up and supporting their economies. And also, you know, these tariffs, right, it's a supply shock here in the U.S. where you have not just growth going down, but inflation going up. And so that makes the Fed's life more difficult. You know, the Fed can't ease. They'll probably ease later this year when growth slows, but it's difficult for them to preemptively ease. But whether you're Europe or you're Canada, if you're getting hit with tariffs, it's really just a demand shock. And so that's hurting your growth and and it's bringing down inflation. That actually means that your central bank can be much more preemptive in lowering rates. So there are these underlying supports, and that's been a factor, I think, in why most international markets have outperformed the U.S. so far this year.
Thanks, Evan.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.